Are you also tired of one-size-fits-all weight loss plans? Meet Noom, the personalized solution that meets you where you are. Noom is able to understand your unique needs, from dietary restrictions to medical concerns. Unlike restrictive programs, Noom embraces your lifestyle and choices. Discover a sustainable approach to weight loss, tailored just for you. Honestly, Noom felt like it was made for me. It's not just about what I eat. It's about understanding why. With Noom, I've learned so much about myself and built healthier habits that stick. It's all about progress, not perfection. Say goodbye to restrictive diets and experience the Noom app for yourself with personalized lessons and expert coaching. Noom's psychology and biology-based approach has helped over 5.2 million people achieve their goals. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
This week's episode of Talking Simpsons is brought to you by Geek Fuel. Go to geekfuel.com/lasertime to sign up for a box of geeky goodies sent to you directly. And if you sign up through geekfuel.com/lasertime, you will get an exclusive Star Wars item worth $20 added to your first box.
Ahoy, hoy, everybody, and welcome to Talking Simpsons, where we smell like an elephant's butt. This is your host, Bob Mackey. As always, who else is here today?
Chris Antista.
Bony girl arms, Henry Gilbert.
Chinless, will you? I'm Dave Rudden.
Wow. And yes, this is the Laser Time Podcast Network's chronological exploration of The Simpsons, and today's episode is the Season 2 finale, Blood Feud, which aired on July 11th, 1991, because Fox was trying to make the season of television extend to the summer in some weird way. I guess it didn't really last. But Chris, what happened on July 11th, 1991?
Oh, my God! Bobby, the Ron Reagan Show premieres. Sam Goody passes away just before he can watch his famous record chain that date back to World War II do the same. And Nickelodeon debuts three new original cartoons, Doug, Rugrats, and Ren and Stimpy.
Wow.
This is a banner week for animation.
Next week, rerun of Ren and Stimpy.
Yeah.
Sorry, guys. I didn't mean
to. That Ren and Stimpy and The Simpsons were probably the most crucial to the television movement of animation.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, and Rugrats was being animated by Klasky Csupo at the same time they were working on
The Simpsons. They probably got
the
contract based, like, they got in the room based on their work on The Simpsons.
Oh, you saw their first season of The Simpsons? We can do that for you, but for us, and we'll do it, and it'll be babies.
And we'll make all the money.
Yeah. Rugrats.
They did Duckman.
And Sam Goody was a person.
Yes, he was a person. It was a nickname, but...
And Ron Reagan is still alive, right?
Everybody
thought he was gay, but he's married a woman.
I thought he was gay until you said that, actually.
He's married to a woman. Like, everybody's like, oh, you're gay, and this is...
Is it his mother?
Lots of gay men are married to women.
I was going
to
say, those aren't mutually exclusive in any way.
Yeah,
that's true.
I think
Hugh Jackman!
I think you probably won't be talking about him hosting Saturday Night Live in, like, 1986.
It's happening on 30-2010, actually.
Why would you talk about that?
This
season. Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. He makes a whole joke how he's the second most powerful person in the world. That is a giant plane.
Probably protecting the Super Bowl as we speak.
It's spewing dangerous chemtrails, everybody. I have to get out of here.
Or, hey, we should probably, if there's problems on the street, we should be seeing one of those signs that alert people that there's problems, right?
That sounds familiar.
Like the episode starts with.
That's true. I feel like I like this episode a lot. It does feel like senioritis, in which they are just having so much fun with a singular idea. They're just kicking around this singular idea of Homer writing this letter to Mr. Burns and the consequences of that happening. So where do we want to start with this episode?
Well, so they start with what seems to be a parody of a very L.A. thing, though now you see these warnings on highways everywhere, yeah. but I think it did get started in L.A., which is a very highway town of just these boards telling people there's a problem.
And weather conditions, there's a traffic accident, slowed. We see them all the time.
Now. Amber alerts.
I love that at the christening of this, that the mayor says they made it possible by Burns doing his civic, like his legal obligation of putting that sign up. But Mr. Burns isn't there, and he's not doing so hot.
We've got to get a doctor.
Absolutely not. No quack sawbones is going to apply his leeches to me. As long as there's an ounce of strength left in me,
just that's, quack sawbones. Fucking awesome.
I mean, that's an old time thing for him to say, but I also feel like he would use that kind of medical help and not new stuff because he's stuck in the past.
Oh, he'd be more into sawbones. Well, he'd be into phrenology.
An elixir is all Mr. Burns.
Yeah, but didn't he study the...
The phrenology is different, though. He doesn't want a crappy backwoods doctor. He wants fancy, like, Victorian-era doctoring. That's what he wants.
The people in the nick.
The kind that delivers babies into town.
Or that Kellogg guy. I made a movie about him.
Since the Blinky episode, this is the most we've seen of Burns. Like, this is Burns-ass episode.
You can tell how they're just getting so antsy, so, like, every four episodes, Burns. Like, nothing but Burns.
Yeah, they just, probably in the pitch meetings, they're just like, so, what if Burns showed up? Like, what if Burns did that? And this was also, I don't know about you guys, but how I learned about blood types.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm afraid it's not that simple. His blood type is double O negative. It's quite rare.
But I'm B positive. Damn, this common gutter blood in my veins.
I didn't know anything about blood types. I then found out because of this episode what my blood type was. Mm-hmm. Not unlike Bart, asked my mom, I am O negative. Double O negative is not a real blood type.
It's not, and neither is hypohemia, which is the disease they claim he has, which is lack of blood. Yeah. There's a similar condition with a similar name, but it's different. But there is no double O negative blood, but type O negative blood, I think 7-9% of the population has it.
Ooh,
so I figured there had to be someone besides Bart in the world.
It means antigens in your bloodstream. Like, A blood can't go with B blood. Mm-hmm. And if you give somebody the wrong blood type in a blood transfusion, you will hurt them.
Yeah.
But O negative can go with anything. It doesn't have the same. I gotta say, they messed up the science too, that Smithers says he can't give his blood because they're not the same blood type. Burns immediately says, thanks for that kidney. You cannot donate a kidney if you don't have a matching blood type.
That's true. Like, I didn't think of that.
That's impossible. Maybe, unless like Burns ate it.
I hope
like,
someone got fired over that blood.
We really need that soundbite on the computer.
I know. I don't know why I don't have
maybe
it.
Maybe Smithers just like went through like all, like he went on the black market and got a kidney or like killed somebody, took their kidney for him.
So then they find out about the blood. I did like this. This is like a Lenny and Carl scene. There's so few scenes of Lenny and Carl doing stuff up to this point.
I give him my blood except for one thing.
What's that?
I don't wanna.
I can't believe you guys. There's a human being out there with millions of dollars who needs our help.
And you don't want to cash in? That's why you losers are stuck in this crummy dead-end job.
You know, Homer, I am your supervisor.
Sorry, sir.
Carl was his supervisor.
Probably them being in the same room finally led them to like get the correct voices.
Yeah.
Because that does not really happen that often.
They couldn't give it to one or the other because they were at least standing next to each other.
From here on, I think they have it fixed.
If you're just joining us, this chronological breakdown, you can hear them as the wrong voices several times throughout this season.
So here's that mother quiz I was talking about, which I reenacted it. Dave, would you call it your line of the show?
That's the joke.
My mother knows everything about her family.
Oh, yeah? What's my shoe size?
4B.
How many teeth do I have?
16 permanent, 8 baby.
Earmuff.
XL.
Ring.
I don't want you wearing rings. It looks cheap. But 3.
Allergies.
Butterscotch and imitation butterscotch.
And?
Glow-in-the-dark monster makeup.
Ooh, impressive.
Life Bart has to. I love butterscotch and monster makeup.
Yeah, and imitation butterscotch. You can't even have the fake.
Oh, I love that he found out he's allergic to the monster makeup implies a moment like 3 Halloweens ago. He puts on the glow-in-the-dark monster makeup and has a reaction.
He can't have regular monster makeup. So. Mm.
That's a wonderful noodle incident for The Simpsons.
But yeah, just the bar part of that is, I love that.
impressive. And it gave me more respect. I think as a kid, it gave me more respect for my mom. It made me realize all the information she was cataloging about you.
I still consult my mom, and I used to call my grandma when she was alive, like, when is so-and-so's birthday? Or like, how do I do this thing? I'm an adult and I should know, but...
Yeah,
and then
she gives me the answer and it's correct. I'm like, fucking weirdo.
Would you know that? Jeez.
Also, what a loser.
It was weird that they almost acknowledged how few hairs that horn has.
Yeah, how many hairs are on my head? Technically, I guess it is three.
Man.
Yeah, but she gave the right answer, which is exactly what we wanted to hear.
Yeah, exactly, because that's how good she is.
You haven't put on any weight.
So then Homer finds out Diaz double. Oh, this episode, man, this is David Silverman directed episode, and he explodes in animation this one. Like, Homer is the Homeriest he's been at this point. He is a cartoon all over the place, but great. Just his dance when he finds out, like, you've got a date with a doctor.
It's a great, like a lot of great character animation. I think he had more time to work on this.
Yeah.
And there's a scene that's very similar to another scene he animated of the I'm the Magical Man from Happy Land with the gumdrop house on Lollipop Lane.
Make people happy. Do you mean, as they call it, Homer's fairy voice?
Yeah. You don't do things like that to be rewarded. You do them because a fellow human being needs a helping hand.
Marge, you're my wife, and I love you very much. But you're living in a world of make-believe with flowers and bells and leprechauns and magic frogs with funny little hats.
Yeah, Mom, we got hoes.
Yeah, when you see Homer bouncing around and wiggling his fingers, it's totally David Silverman. Anytime there's like a finger wiggle or someone using that.
But that gets ahead of us, too. I really love... it's too long to be a line of the show, but I do love the story of Hercules and
Lion. Oh, yeah.
Bart, it's not like I'm asking you to give blood for free. That would be crazy. You're a little young to understand this, but when you save a rich man's life, he showers you with riches. Don't you know the story of Hercules and the Lion?
Is it a Bible story?
Yeah, probably. Anyway, once upon a time, there was a big, mean lion who got a thorn in his paw, and all the village people tried to pull it out, but nobody was strong enough. So they got Hercules, and Hercules used his mighty strength, and bingo! Anyway, the moral is, the lion was so happy, he gave Hercules this big thing of riches.
How did a lion get rich?
It was the olden days.
And that convinces him to do
big
it.
Thing like, of riches.
There's something, and then I do like the line that Otto calls himself, bloodletting tech dude.
And this is definitely another... Yeah, Otto situation where he's like, you shoehorned him in just to get him in the episode.
They shoved him in. Unlike Burns, we did get tired of Otto just like them. But he does another. Yeah, and he does another scene of he just sings. I believe it's Iron Man. He does the.
It is. Yeah. We also see Shakespeare's Fried Chicken, which is just this very minor thing that popped up until maybe season 2.5
3.5.
Like a jingle or something in an episode.
Yeah, it's in the one where Homer. It's in Homer's Odyssey when he's flipping through the channels when he's depressed.
Like, it sounds like Rule Britannia.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I wish that was one of the things at the Springfield at Universal Studios. Like instead, they have Cletus's chicken thumbs, which is not really from an episode on. Like, say, Krusty Burger or the Frying Dutchman. But and I did like the little joke of the elevator scene, too. The guy doesn't know he's in the elevator.
Yeah, that is awesome.
There's a couple jokes in this episode that just
feel
like everybody
delivered the blood
time.
So efficiently. And
that is me when I'm at the checkout at a supermarket. And I'm like, okay, swipe my card, hit yes. And hit, I don't hit yes the second time. And I'm just standing there in the like adult and... Yeah. Oh, holding up this line. Sorry.
And I think this is some great Burns acting when he gives his epitaph.
Charles Montgomery Burns.
Mm-hmm.
American.
Mm-hmm.
And patriot. American patriot. Master of the atom. Scourge of the despot. Oh, tyrant, hear his mighty name and quick! Smithers, I'm back!
Awesome. Yeah, that was the blood draining into him from Bart's arm.
That sound is a bit much, just like... Doesn't he always need blood from that point on? Like, if he has a lack of blood, it just means he needs a transfusion. But does the thing that's making him lose blood stop?
I'm sure he found an orphan or something.
You see, he has all of the diseases, which creates a Three Stooges effect.
That's right,
That trip to the Mayo Clinic also showed it was impossible to draw blood from him because like, the needle went through him.
Like meringue, I believe the line was.
Yes, yeah.
Which is so disgusting.
They think... Homer thinks he's going to get something from Burns for giving the blood, but he doesn't get it. And he just gets a card that is like, thanks, which do you guys think that Burns owed them money, or that he should have given them money. Like, it is,
yes.
As least as March says, it is for its own reward. They saved a person's life, and that's what they wanted to do.
But he has so much extra and literally gained his life.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
He should give them $1 billion.
And like, just if we're being real, the amount of blood he probably needed and was taken from a 10-year-old boy, yeah. Bart would be weak and tired and sick for quite a while.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's absolutely owed some kind of gift.
I mean, that's not the first time Bart has given blood, though, in no, season two either. No.
I think he does. It was just a part of the social contract. He should have realized, I should give them some money. Yeah, they saved
my
life.
He is Mr. Burns.
It's like the writ large version of like, oh, you give me a ride to the airport, I'll buy you dinner or something.
Oh, you're having people over at your house? I'll bring you some beer.
Yeah.
There's many things you
can
do like this all
the
time.
Oh, you help me move, I'll buy you all dinner.
Yes. He did not have one of his uncharacteristic changes of hearts in this episode.
Well, so then Homer is so pissed off, he writes a letter.
Bart, take a letter. Dear Mr. Burns, I'm so glad you enjoyed my son's blood, and your card was just great. In case you can't tell, I'm being sarcastic. You stink. Could you read that last part back to me?
You stink.
Good.
Yeah, stiller with a zeal, though, with a kid who's allowed to curse.
Yeah.
Or not curse, but just say something
like
bad.
I like how supportive Bart is in this. Yeah. That's why I think in a previous episode, Bart mailing the letter for him would be Bart trying to get Homer in trouble. But in this case, it was just Bart was so gung-ho. He was like, yeah, Homer, you got to do that.
He's doing punch-up on Homer's jokes, too.
I like it when they have the dynamic of like Huck Finn and...
oh, yeah, yeah. Well,
and Tom Sawyer.
I like just... This is a very vaudeville routine to me.
The last place I saw it was
letter.
In my hand.
Yeah.
As I was shoving it into the mailbox.
Oh!
Yeah, Homer... Marge talks Homer out of it, and then Homer has a dream where he's strangling Mr. Burns, but it turns into him putting syrup on pancakes, and that makes him feel better. Like, you can like visually see his anger dissipate and turn to like love of food again.
And I just love that froofy music over, like, doot. And then he gets to eat pancakes that morning. His dream comes true.
Wow, I'm starving.
He dreams low.
I could go for some pancakes.
Me too.
I really could. Meanwhile, Burns wants to write his story. Like, tell his story. I love this bit with a ghostwriter that sent me to Wikipedia.
Me too.
First question. Have you slept with anyone famous?
Well, Countess von Zeppelin and I...
What in place? Now you listen to me, you bargain basement Baudelaire. I'm not some dizzy starlet who can't string two words together. I can write this thing myself. You're fired.
Just like a Countess von Zeppelin. So
invented the Zeppelin?
The Ferdinand von Zeppelin, he invented the Zeppelin, Zeppelin company. And his daughter, let me double check this. So if the countess he's talking about is his wife, who was Countess von Zeppelin, she died in 1917, which I don't think that's it. If it was his daughter, Helena, that Countess von Zeppelin died in 1967. That's more possible.
That's not old enough. It's got to be your grandmother.
Burns. I think
she was born in 1879.
That's more like it.
She was approaching 90 when she died in 67. So you could see Burns with her.
These people were celebrities?
The Zeppelin.
Yeah.
You know what Zeppelins are.
They're like the Kardashians.
Name the wife of the creator of the Segway.
Yeah.
Well, Jill Segway.
But it was like the...
Daryl Segway, but I remember.
Well, if you've watched Venture Brothers, in the flashbacks, they sometimes show up like... Thaddeus Venture Sr. or whatever, the one who... He's in a Zeppelin. I think he's based on the Ferdinand Zeppelin. He was this inventor / baron or whatever. Like, just a moneyed elite who also invented shit. Like, interesting
Probably.
Character.
I have to imagine that the Zeppelin family was facing a lot of controversy after the Hindenburg.
That's why they called them dirigibles after that, right?
Yeah.
Oh, there's one more deep cut in this scene, and this show is about deep cuts, so I don't feel too nerdy for saying this.
No.
So the ghostwriter is going through the books he's written, like Hell I Can't. And one of them is called The Unsinkable...
Sedrudin Mabarada.
Sedrudin Mabarada. And I'm like, who is that? Is that a real person?
I should look that up.
So I went to the Simpsons Wikia, which is an amazing source for even a character that appears for 8 seconds will have a webpage on there. And apparently he is a Hindu priest that does a yoga... show in the Simpsons universe. You see him once, and he's mentioned twice. If you remember the clip, it's like a Hindu guy going tilt your head back and forth.
Yeah,
that's
like
him.
A piece of asparagus.
It's like weird that they gave him a name and he was in three episodes like this. Wow. I don't know what they were planning for him. I'm guessing someone knew a guy with this name. That's why it's so specific.
It is so specific.
Yeah, just like Armin Tamzarian is the name of a guy. We'll get to that in like 2 years, I guess.
Never.
But it's so specific.
That'll be like 4 years.
Yeah, but sorry, that was so nerdy, but I love it.
What is up, Talking Simpsons fans? Chris here, briefly jumping in to tell you this show is brought to you by Geek Fuel. And if you go to geekfuel.com/lasertime right now, you can get a free Star Wars item worth $20 just for signing up for a mystery box. So what's in the mystery box, you ask? 6 to 8 items, an exclusive t-shirt, and a $50 value of kit and caboodle featuring famous stuff from Marvel, DC, Nintendo, Zelda, Game of Thrones, pop figs, pint glasses, posters. You never know quite what it's going to be, but it's like a delicious geeky gift that shows up at your door whenever you feel like it. And oh, guess what? They've had Simpsons stuff involved in the box in the past. So go to geekfuel.com/lasertime right now, sign up for one of their boxes, get it as a gift for a geek in your life, and get a free $20 Star Wars item right now.
So Homer's trying to get back the letter meanwhile, and that leads to, I think, definitely the line of the episode.
That's what I think it is.
That's the joke.
Hello. My name is Mr. Burns. I believe you have a letter for me.
Okay, Mr. Burns. What's your first name?
I don't know.
The one thing about this... Here, I love this line. I don't think the writers were committed to making Homer this stupid yet, because when he leaves, he goes, "Great plan, Bart." Yeah. He was stupid enough to accept the plan, but not to think of why it could go wrong. So he wasn't that stupid yet.
But he does do something equally stupid later on when Mr. Burns confronts him in the office and says, "Who are you?" And he says, "Homer Simpson." Oh,
yeah.
Don't.
Yeah,
that was a fake name. Yeah, Homer Simpson. Yeah, I don't have that one, but it's another talk to the brain scene.
This is a vivid memory of my father losing his shit at that line specifically.
Well, by the way, this is a plot. I think they cop to it in the commentary. This is a plot from a Honeymooners. Like in an episode of Honeymooners, Ralph Cramden wrote an angry letter to his boss that he mailed and then regretted and was trying to get it back.
God,
so
I'm so mad. I got to get that letter back and hit my wife.
See, Honeymooners did it. Honeymooners did it.
The scene opens with this like glorious mural of a within the post office.
So great, yeah.
And you know our post office downtown is like this huge historical building, and there's a mural in there too that was painted during the Depression.
Back when the public works they spent money on that instead of like the flop house that the post office has turned into now. It's the Berkeley post office garbage man. It deserves to be shut down and turned into a strip mall or whatever the city of Berkeley wants to do with it.
Stamps.com warehouse.
Burns fires Homer, and I like Homer's plan of how they're going to survive this.
Here's a plan. You can move in with your sisters and raise the kids, and I'll die in a gutter. It's practical and within our means.
They always told me I was going to destroy the family, but I never believed it.
That's okay, Bart. Nobody really believed it. We were just trying to scare you.
I just like to think back to previous episodes that they would have said, like, you're going to ruin this family, Bart. You're going to ruin the family. They didn't really mean it, but now he has. And this is the second time Homer's been fired. Like, he's had a new job, too, but... Mm-hmm. I think the only time he was fired was in the safety inspector episode.
Homer's Odyssey, right?
Homer's Odyssey, yeah. I think that's when he was officially fired.
But he did not decide to kill himself in this one.
He has more reason to be depressed in this one, I'd say. But also, Burns' book, I love Will There Ever Be a Lady?
Yeah.
That's such a good Simpsons joke. I thought it was from like 4 seasons from now. I love Will There Ever Be a Rainbow?
They reference it again.
Closing, gentle reader, I'd like to thank you. What's that you say? Me thanking you? No, it's not a misprint. For you see, I enjoyed writing this book as much as you enjoyed reading it.
It's just such a writerly joke.
Yeah.
Like a bad writing of the kind of froofy stuff that a dude would... would a rich guy who insisted on writing his own book would write.
Who thinks it's very clever, too. Yeah, like, oh, they're going to love
nobody's
this.
Nobody's ever thought of this. Yeah. Bob, you said they did it again. I remember it being an item in Virtual Springfield. Mm. Like, you could find copies of it, but wasn't it... Oh, it was in... I remember it, too.
The Old Man and the Lisa.
Lisa and the Animal Slurry?
Yeah. He comes to talk to their class. He talks about, you must slay these three demons.
So I'm not
crazy.
There's a reference to this book again.
Yeah, in season 8.
Yeah, and Martin's reading out of the book and tells him, like, according to your biography, you're worth this much. And it's also in the background, I remember now from, I can't remember the name of the episode, but it's the Homer and Mindy episode, The Last Temptation of Homer.
Oh, yeah.
In that episode, when they're at the energy convention, in the Springfield Nuclear Power Plant booth behind them are copies of Burns' book. And I love that cover of him, like, will there ever be a
It's great. I'm surprised he doesn't have his toupee on that cover. But
that's true.
And this was the age of The Simpsons getting a lot of books. Like, a TV show could conceivably have many books. And I bet the writers really wanted to write Will There Ever Be a Rainbow?
Wow. Would I read the shit
I would
of that
read
right
it.
Now.
If you get, like, those writers to write it, I would read it, yeah.
Let's kickstart that.
There was a little moment, too, that I liked where Burns is going to have Homer beaten. Horribly,
oh, yeah,
too.
This is the first appearance of Hired Goons.
Yeah, Hired Goons, whose name is... This one's Joey, and he's appeared as a just unnamed goon other times, but I just love the... It's so little and short. It's like half a second, but when he turns around and say, what? Like, it's just his body shake, like, what?
Beating,
like,
no kick. Got it. Just,
that's so great. And when they shake hands, and then they say, I wish this handshake would last forever. I think that was them, the writers, recognizing, hanging a lantern on, this is the end of the episode and we should be over, but we have to wrap up a different plot line.
That's when Smithers convinces Burns to not have Homer beaten and fired.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that this is the most human Smithers has been to that point.
What'd he do? He saved Mr. Burns' life!
Again, Harry Shearer.
Yeah.
Bringing it. I love his performances in these early seasons.
Well, I like this very Seussian performance here.
We'll get the Simpsons a present. An extravagant present. A mad, unthinkable, utterly impossible present. A frabulous, grabulous, zip-zoop-zabulous present.
God, I love... And it's David Silverman animation, you can tell.
He's moving, it's like a... It's a very... animatory type scene too, like he's moving up an escalator, so he's a moving piece while doing act outs. It's
I guess the first time Mr. Burns is the Grinch, essentially.
Yeah, he'd be more of the Grinch in the what was it, Springfield, Last Exit to Springfield, where he's like, they sing without blenders, they sing without blunders.
So right before that, it's a very brief Moe's Tavern scene. And it's not even all that memorable, like the Mike Rotch is the call. But Moe says something that I read all the time in, like, Life is Hell books, where he says, Moe's Tavern, where the elite meet to drink. Elite meet to blank was a thing in Life and Hell books, like, where the elite, like, there's, like, this ad for, it might have actually blend, like, into some Simpsons stuff, too, but, like, a barbecue place called like where the elite meet to eat their meat or whatever. I just remember where the elite meet. Mm-hmm. It was just a common thing.
There are a lot of life and hellisms scattered throughout, for sure.
That scene was so short. That also felt like just a filler scene.
Why was he calling Moe's? Just to kill time? Or was there a purpose?
Well,
I don't know.
It was...
Homer was killing time.
Yeah, commiserating about being fired. And he's like, I'm drinking to forget my problems. And Bart's like, you shouldn't do that. You should drink to enhance your social skills.
I was also... when that scene started, I was waiting for the jokes from Dog of Death, where he has to dance for money for a beer.
Oh, right.
I thought that was coming. I was like, no, this is the other time they were poor and he's drinking.
Well, I was thinking it was going to be like when the Germans took over the power plant and Burns was going to come in and get talked down to.
Nobody loves you. Nobody.
Again, I failed.
So there's a lot of jokes about the specificity of mall stores in the early 90s.
Yeah. I love Smithers on that banjo. Like, it was so he is really good at that banjo. Just a dumb... I need a gif of that. Just a dumb look on his face. Like...
And Burns scowling at him.
My only observation, this seemed like a dated mall joke 10 years ago when every store in my local mall and here were all chains.
Yeah.
Now, mall chain stores are pretty much dead, and you go into our local mall, it's still hustle bustle, but it's all local people with punny names.
Yeah, that you've never seen outside of
that
mall.
That you only see in the mall. Again, it's the 80s all over again.
Yeah, I mean, there's still H&M, like, if you want to go to a place to buy garbage cheap underpants, which I need some more of those.
Usable fashion.
Do you guys want to hear the names of all the stores?
Please!
Yes, so we have the Tam O'Shanter Connection. Maybe Dave could explain what that means. Sweet Home Alabama, the store with things from Alabama. Wicked Excess, which is sort of the Sharper Image kind of place. Yeah. And then we have Plunder Pete, which is where they get the head of Extopolopaketel.
Extopolopaketel, the god of what?
My girlfriend worked in one of those stores where everything was like hand-carved and looked... Look, stolen from a native land.
Mm. It's where you'd find a lot of rain sticks. That was my, as a 10-year-old, I was like, ooh, rain stick turnover. What if I turned over all 5 of the rain sticks? Ooh, boy.
You'll annoy your parents 5 times faster.
Yeah. I'm sure the employees of those things love
it. So I have like a personal story about Extopolopaketel.
Oh, boy.
For one of my art classes when I was in high school, we had to do this thing. It was called A to Z. So we had to do like 26 frames, and each letter of the alphabet had to correspond to a painting. Like you could do fruits like apple, banana, carrot, not fruit. But what I did was, I'll do 26 Simpsons characters, one for each letter.
Oh,
and
wow.
A lot of them I had to cheese it by using a last name or something. But X, I was like, what do I do for X? What do I do for X? And like, I had to look through that Simpsons episode guide, and I'm like, Extopolopaketel, because they had that glossary in the back, and that was the X
perfect
entry. It was the only thing that could have been the X entry.
Was
at
Z
point.
Artie Ziff?
Artie,
it had to
yes.
be. Okay.
And Q was Quimby, mayor.
Man, see, that life before the internet, kids. School before the internet.
Terrifying. Yeah, this cost Mr. Burns $32,000.
A lot of money. It's a good gift.
Yeah, and I love his line when Bretman Smithers is questioning the price. He's like, don't you dare sell this moment with your price taggery.
That's so great. Price taggery. It's perfect. I didn't capture when he delivers the gift.
Mr. Burns, you brought us a present.
Why, what did you think I was going to do? Have you beaten to a bloody pulp? To show there's no hard feelings, please take an advance copy of my book, Will There Ever Be a Rainbow? And now, young fellow, I haven't forgotten you. Here.
Wow, a crowbar.
It's to open the crate, stupid.
I would have loved a crowbar.
By the way, like the Extopolopaketel thing also ties into the weird tag of the entire episode where Lisa is teaching Maggie words.
That's right.
Yeah.
Aztec.
I made the note that Lisa didn't have much to do in this episode.
Yeah,
not really. I like that they gave her something to do, and I did like the slight it wasn't passive aggressiveness. It was just Lisa saying, I want her to have a better childhood than I did. Yeah. And Marge is like, we did our best. It's like, God damn, you're 8 and you're saying we were bad parents.
Maybe they knew this episode was going to be on the summer and they're just like, we got to teach kids something.
Yeah.
I love, what's the name of the stupid thing?
Extopolopaketel.
Extopolopaketel.
Think of how Mr. Burns says it. Extopolopaketel.
It's not like a goddamn
popping lucky cup.
This is one of the few instances of any continuity in The Simpsons.
That's true.
It stays in their basement for years.
I think it's the artist caring. Like I think the artist just put it in the basement, and obviously the idea of like, well, they must have had to take out their floor and lower it in the basement. Yeah. I mean, the fact that it's in their living room, it can't get in their living room. There's no way unless they take out a wall.
The Simpsons basement like a Batcave quality.
Yeah, like it's the giant penny of the Simpsons house.
It's a dinosaur.
And you're right. How did they get it in the house without taking it down a wall? I mean, getting a couch through a door is hard enough.
Why don't they resell it? Like, it sells for $32,000. They could probably get a decent amount back.
What if Mr. Burns comes over and it's not there?
Uh-oh.
He comes over a lot. Yeah, I like their reaction to it, too.
This is how many times...
Really, what does it do?
Whatever it does, it's doing it now.
Well, I'll let you get acquainted with Senor Extopolopaketel.
There you go.
I forgot. Never mind. Oh, God. Well, how many times do you think Mr. Burns has been over to the Simpsons house in season 2? Yeah. At least 3.
4 or 5.
He watches a fight.
Watch the fight.
He gets painted.
Mm-hmm. Blinky.
How fitting that he ends the season by leaving something of him inside of the house forever.
Mm. Well, meanwhile, he's got something of Bart inside him forever.
I set it on me floor.
It's creepy.
And this episode ends with, I give the Simpsons shit for them just episodes ending with the writers through the characters shrugging their shoulders and saying, it's the end. We got to 22 minutes. Like, it's over. Who cares? But pretty much that's what they say with the moral of the story.
Yeah.
The moral of this story is a good deed is its own reward.
Hey, we got a reward. The head is cool.
Well, then, I guess the moral is no good deed goes unrewarded.
Wait a minute. If I hadn't written that nasty letter, we wouldn't have gotten anything.
Well, then I guess the moral is the squeaky wheel gets the grease.
Perhaps there is no moral to this story.
Exactly. It's just a bunch of stuff that happened.
But it certainly was a memorable few days.
Amen to that.
I mean, that's almost like a critique of the episode by them. Like, it's just a bunch of stuff that happened.
I think this, I mean, this predates a show about nothing, I think, in the mission statement, where this will lead us into season three, where they're not going to be moralizing as much. They're saying, like, we can tell a fun story without it having a point.
Yeah.
I don't see them being as, I guess, catty with the audience about it. It feels like a conversation writers are having with each other. Like, what's the message? What are we telling people?
What are the stakes here? What are we doing?
Yeah. But it's like, it doesn't matter as long as the episode was funny.
Like, you guys alluded to the senioritis before. I wonder if it's also like, we don't know how to end this exactly. Let's just talk about how we don't have an ending.
Yeah.
Hey, that's funny to say we don't have an ending. And let's just talk about
that. It feels like the pretty punk rock way to end the season of popular show on television.
It's not as lazy as, say, the Loch Ness Monster working at a casino. That's just lazy.
But I mean, like, within this universe of 1991, mm-hmm. a sitcom, including The Simpsons, would end with, like, 30 seconds of sweetness, hugging, music, mm-hmm. and, like, this is what happened, and this is how we're different. But this one is just like, just a bunch of stuff happened, and you had fun, and that's all that matters.
Yeah, didn't you have fun? We did. And they even laugh at the end. Like, that's the one thing that made it feel like not like a current one, that they would have just ended with Homer saying, like, a bunch of stuff that happened. But they have a little family laugh together moment.
And then, like, Maude Flanders would walk in, like, what did I miss? Or something stupid like that. You know, they would, like, try to tweak you like that.
But yeah, that was a great end to a great season of The Simpsons.
Yeah.
Season 2, much better than I
It deserves a lot more credit than it gets. We, on an episode of Laser Time, for our 100th episode, it's just called Simpsons Reference because we couldn't stop making Simpsons references.
And like, before we had this.
It's finally helping us channel it into something more productive.
Now we can live healthy lives.
I said a second season is hyper underrated, really great, and the building blocks of how great the show became do start to emerge in the second season. Wonderful.
Yeah.
And if you like that, the show is brought to you by Patreon, patreon.com/lasertime. It's where you can get all the season one episodes exclusively. We'll be doing a season two recap episode there exclusively for patrons who help make the show
reality. You're going to learn all about the music videos and all the weird stuff that happened in seasons one and two were not aired.
Some factoids.
God awful DVD menu for season two.
A lot of complaining about that. But season two was great. I thought it was going to be slower. Mm-hmm. There's maybe two episodes I thought were kind of weak, but the rest, like, I enjoyed watching them. I enjoyed getting these jokes that I can only get now that I'm an adult. Mm-hmm. And I enjoyed the animation, which definitely improved. Yeah. Season 3, I think, is the best animated season, period.
Mm. 3, 4, 5
are the high points, I think. Yeah. But 3, they're just... we'll
talk
about it then.
It's the last Chupo one.
Yeah.
It won't be until September that you hear our next episode, which is when season 3 begins again with Michael Jackson.
Oh, wow.
Ooh, cannot wait.
Yeah. I was looking
Smith.
I was looking ahead at season 3 episodes, and I thought, I can't wait to talk about all of these.
I'm so excited for all these. But yeah, thank you for joining us for this exploration of season 2. We hope you'll stick with us for season 3. I've been Bob Mackey, your host. You can find me on Twitter as Bob Servo. I also host the classic gaming podcast Retronauts. You can find that on usgamer.net or retronauts.com, or just search for it in your iPhone program podcast thing. I don't know what that's called. Everybody else, what do you do?
Who are you?
Oh, well, I mean, there is Laser Time, the podcast that started it all on the Laser Time Podcast Network.
Are slowly liking less than this show.
And there's also the, if you like the bit about the history at the beginning, you've got 30-20-10, where we take pop culture 30 years ago, 20 years ago, and 10 years ago that week, explore all of it. Plus, I've got my own podcast, Cape Crisis. Give that a listen, everybody.
And there's also a Cheap Podcast, a pro wrestling podcast, where we don't have X Topalapa Kettle, but we do have X-Pac.
It's just as good, right?
And Video Game Apocalypse for you folks who like the goddamn video games. Yeah. Pokemon!
And VG Empire, which gives us talk about video game music. You can find all the information about those on lasertimepodcast.com.
Where I wrote an article that I need to update, a list of every Dead Simpsons guest star to give you an idea of how long the show has been.
Are there many more? There
were 70 last count. Ooh. Not counting Phil Hartman and Ms. Krabappel.
Bob Newhart still hanging on.
Yeah, it's weird.
At 90. So yeah, thanks for joining us. We'll be back next week with season 3. See you then.
Wow, infotainment.